Giving top secret orders over TV isn't too bright.
You're right, Morocco. I better turn up the brightness. Needs a little adjustment. Yeah, that's all.
Be careful, Secret. You almost dropped it. Maybe I'd better hold it. Oopsie.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
You're so nice.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Greetings, Toonheads. It's your top secret friend and host, B-Dubs, and this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're doing something a little different. This is a new format of our show called Comparisons. It's not a versus, it's not a battle, and definitely not a throwdown cage match. We're just taking two elements tied with a common thread and understanding how the differences and similarities make one objectively better or worse. Could be characters, could be shows, could even be programming blocks. There's a lot of flexibility to see what makes our favorite memories tick. So we're starting off with two Hanna-Barbera anthropomorphic spies who can crack a case better than a bag of walnuts. I'm talking about none other than Secret Squirrel. And for those who remember him, maybe more familiar with the 90s version seen in between two Stupid Dog segments on occasion. But did you know that there was also a 1960s version created by Hanna-Barbera as well? Ask your parents if they've ever seen it, because it's uncharted territory to me. More than anything, I'm curious what makes these two shows so special. So we'll outline some similarities, some key differences, and then weigh in with our two sets of nostalgia goggles to determine if one is objectively better than the other, or simply subjectively enjoyable in their own way. Looks like the Chief has given us a new case, so let's see what kinds of danger that we'll get into today.
Miss Penny, send in Secret Squirrel.
Agent 000, Secret Squirrel, reporting for duty, Chief.
And me, Morocco Mole.
Starting off with the series info, we'll do a rundown of each of these. The air dates for the 60s Secret Squirrel is October 2nd, 1965 to November 26, 1966. And for the 90s version, it's September 5th, 1993 to February 13th, 1995. The title is also referred to as The Secret Squirrel Show, Secret Squirrel, or Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole for the 60s version. And the 90s version is commonly referred to as Super Secret Secret Squirrel. The number of seasons for the 60s version is 2, and the 90s version only ran for 1 season. The number of episodes for the 60s version is 26, and half of that, 13 for the 90s version. The 60s version was created by William Hanna and Joseph Barbera, and the 90s version was created and directed by Larry Huber. It was written by a multitude of writers for each version, as the 60s one was written by Michael Maltese, Dalton Sandifier, Warren Foster, and Tony Benedict, but did not specify which cartoon shorts were related to their work. Probably a collaborative effort. As for the 90s version, Roberts Ganaway and Mark Saraceni covered most of the episodes, with Lane Reichert only writing for the episode One Ton, featuring the panda villain. And of course, for voice talents, we have Mel Blanc as Secret Squirrel, yes, of Bugs Bunny fame, for the 60s version, with Paul Frees as Morocco Mole joining him. And for the 90s version, we have Jess Harnell as Secret Squirrel, with the great Jim Cummings as Morocco Mole, too. So a little bit of star power injected into each of their roles. All right, let's compare and contrast through different topics, shall we? So starting off with the show format, I did find it interesting that both were a part of another show as an intermediary segment. The 60s version was paired with Adam Ant from 1965 to 1966 for its season one airing on NBC. And while the first season wedged itself between two Adam Ant cartoons, for some reason only network execs know, once season two for the 60s version rolled around, both Adam Ant and Secret Squirrel were split up as their own independent shows for season two, and consequently paired up with other Hanna-Barbera cartoons, where Adam Ant gained Precious Pup and Hillbilly Bears as a part of its pairing, while Secret Squirrel was joined by Squiddly Diddly and Winsome Witch. Eventually, it was all lumped together into 1 hour Saturday morning cartoon block, and it also became packaged with the Banana Splits Adventure Hour from 1969 to 1970, just a couple years later, serving as the wraparound segment to these tunes. Looks like the 90s version experienced a similar treatment when it came to scrambling the show format up, too. As you know, it was the middle segment in between two Stupid Dog cartoons from 1993 and 1995, but particularly for season one, as season two, as I found out, was replaced the middle segment with just a rerun of a season one two Stupid Dog cartoon, which I thought was an odd choice. Maybe there was a budget issue. I couldn't find out for sure in my research. Moving on to main characters, let's examine Secret Squirrel a little bit closer.
I'm Secret Squirrel, and you're under arrest. Now drop that tire.
The 60s version of Secret Squirrel and his faithful companion are slightly different, but in the same vein of appearance. The 60s version is covered in a light brown, two-tone fur with some tufts spreading out from both sides of his cheeks below his ears. He also has a black nose slightly pointed up, and his light gray trench coat is fastened by two horizontal straps. Fairly simple design. Personality-wise, Secret Squirrel comes across as a daring yet fumbling character, who is aggressive and overt in his approach to stopping the bad guys, and yet lacks the tactfulness to reason with them, often leading to easily avoidable negative outcomes. I wouldn't say he's underqualified to handle the missions he's given, but he does work on the cheap, so yeah, you get the quality of help that you pay for. He can also be a bit grating when you hear him utter forced catchphrases, so that's something to consider too.
I've got you now, Secret Squirrel!
Let's get him, Morocco!
As for the 90s version of Secret Squirrel, the revamped version also dons his trademark trench coat and purple fedora, though his modern look features a more streamlined approach where his trench coat is more angular and missing the straps, while his fedora appears to have a darker indigo color with a harder edge across his top. His design overall has a bolder outline, and he's quite adept at solving his cases, as he utilizes critical thinking, strategy, and his resourcefulness to calculate and exploit his adversary's weaknesses. He's a confident spy who has a balance of bravery and smugness to match his adeptness, too. As far as similarities go, both share the nickname Agent 000, which is in reference to James Bond, an influence for inspiration when the cartoon was created. Both Secret Squirrels also see through eye holes in their hat brim and use gadgets from their coat, watch, and hat to solve puzzles. Additionally, both have skills in martial arts. I believe the 60s version knows karate and the 90s version knows judo, but don't quote me on that. They know how to kick and punch, that's all you need to know.
What's the hurry, Secret?
As for Morocco Mole, the 60s version is covered in reddish-brown slick fur with a lighter flesh tone around his black nose. He's sporting round Coke bottle glasses while wearing a blue blazer, and a yellow ascot is tucked around his neck, and a pinkish-red fez with matching tassel hangs over his snout. His accent is more pronounced as a Peter Lorre impression, who was a popular actor of the 30s to 60s in film, constantly finding caricatures and parodies of himself across cartoon media, including Looney Tunes, The Brave Little Toaster, Crash Bandicoot, Grim Fandango, SpongeBob, Courage the Cowardly Dog in the King of Flan episode, Corpse Bride and Frankenweenie, among literally dozens of others. That aside, Morocco serves primarily as Secret Squirrel's chauffeur of the Instant Car, not to be confused with Instacart, and occasionally just follows him around to state the obvious and wait on him whenever stuff blows up in his face. As for the 90s Morocco Mole,
thanks muchly good, sir. You certainly blow it me up good.
By contrast, he wears black sunglasses, which are stylized as two circles blocking out his eyes. Definitely ups his coolness factor since the decade he appears in is all about coolness. Moving along, I did note how his fur is a two-tone stone gray this time around, and has a purplish-pink pointed snout. He's wearing an orange-red blazer with a yellow ascot, but it could be interpreted as a turtleneck due to its more rounded, simplified design. The tassel on his fez is yellow this time around to match his clothing neckline. And his Peter Lorre impersonation is less pronounced, maybe more of a lisp instead, with more emphasis on his Moroccan accent. His character design, like everything else in this version of the cartoon, has a bolder outline to fit the flat graphic aesthetic. What I appreciate most about Morocco Mole in the 90s version is how he takes a more active role as sidekick. He isn't just limited to the role of driver or yes man this time around, but he collaborates with Secret Squirrel in coming up with schemes to stop the villains, while also taking on some bumbling, clumsy traits from the original Secret Squirrel. Contrasting him to the more serious and suave Secret Squirrel of this era proves to make a great dynamic for comedy. Finally, it's noteworthy that unlike the 60s version, 90s Rocco Mole has an evil tin brother, Scirocco Mole, who is also voiced by Jess Harnell, that he faces in their own focused episode.
Now get out and catch those crooks! And hurry! The commissioner's breathing down my neck!
As for the supporting cast of each series, in the 60s one, we have the Chief, and basically the rest of the world for that matter, as human characters interacting with them. And strangely enough, Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole are really the only animal-based characters in the show, aside from like one or two villains, like the wolf who steals sheep in that episode. Why? Don't really have a clue, because it's a bit jarring in the same way watching Stuart Little is, unless you don't really care and just want to watch to turn your brain off. Occasionally, other characters like a constable or commissioner hire Secret Squirrel to do their bidding, but they feel they're shoehorned in from a Commander McBragg underdog short rather than being a natural part in the show's universe. There's not much to look for here.
Super secret message for you, Chief.
This is a crisis.
In contrast, the 90s version has every character as an anthropomorphic animal with layers of personality, which already makes it far more immersive than the 60s counterpart. Did you know that the Chief's favorite candy is Crunchy Munchies, by the way? Speaking of the Chief, Double Q, which is his actual name, in both series, he is a Cape Buffalo, or African Buffalo in this version, who speaks in a deep monotone voice, and even joins the spy duo during missions such as in the Platypus episode, or even the Voodoo Goat episode too. There's also his bubbly, helpful assistant Penny, who is based on Miss Moneypenny from James Bond, with a dash of Agent 99 from Get Smart, who is a welcome addition to the spy crew. She even gets her own episode to determine if she can handle the responsibilities and stresses that go along with being a top secret agent like Secret Squirrel. And I love how she gets that space to explore that. Conversely, women are mostly absent from the 60s series, aside from being set dressing on the occasional physical slapstick Secret Squirrel gets himself into, or in one instance being a granny who wants to steal a tiny bomb in an episode. Yes, that is an episode.
I've got it! The balmy bomb is mine!
It's the masked granny!
The 90s version still has some physical comedy involved, but it's toned down much more, and is used intentionally rather than excessive like in the 60s version. Among the similarities, didn't really find much among the supporting characters other than both chiefs smoke a pipe, though one is white and one is black to match their complexion. Coincidence?
Hey, boss, the door's locked.
Of course, stupid. That's why I got a pass key.
Rolling right along with the villains, the 60s ones are fairly one-note and dim-witted. I feel very little empathy or intrigue for these common gangsters. Maybe the stiff recycled animation techniques are to blame, but the dialogue doesn't help much either. It's a bit oversimplistic and predictable. Maybe a sign of the times or just Hanna-Barbera's animation trademark style. For the 90s version, though, each villain, aside from being a different animal, has their own distinct personality and backstory. No matter who Secret Squirrel faces, it's fun to witness how the villains demonstrate both their strengths and weaknesses, as some instances are unexpectedly humorous through their interactions. The one that comes to mind for me is the Gold Flipper one, where he gets $2 for Secret Squirrel Morocco Mole while they're disguised as Squirrely Girly Scouts to destroy his base. It's a lot of fun.
$2, eh? Well, all right. You squirrely girlies wait here while I go fetch some money.
My personal favorite, too, would have to be split between Greg and Chameleon as entertaining villains with relatable backstories. While there's no main arch nemesis in the 90s version, Gold Flipper is actually a stand-in for his 60s counterpart, Yellow Pinky, both of which are a direct reference to the James Bond villain Orc Goldfinger from the 1964 feature film, and are both dressed similarly, too, in that shade of daisy yellow. Moving on to spy gadgets.
It's my ring-a-ding TV ring. I'm going to try it for the first time. Watch.
This was hard to kind of decipher because there's a lot of random gadgets and repeat gadgets in the 60s version, but to summarize, there was basically a bazooka, ring-a-ding TV ring, sorted specialty guns, watch receiver and video communicator, hat phone, hat and coat recorder, hat missile launcher, hat camera. I mean, a lot of weird different things. But I didn't really see much variety beyond that. It was just various versions of those main, you know, hat and watch applications.
I'll use my audio optic subatomic magno enhancer.
As for the 90s, though, there were more distinct spy gadgets, too. And I think just in time, things get more detailed as you have experience to draw upon to form more compelling stories. So what I noted amongst the 13 episodes of the 90s version involved a transforming car, just like the 60s version, candy spray, gold spray, assorted grenades, like a haystack grenade, hat spatula, senseless destruction locator, optic subatomic enhancer, anti-gravity goulashes, or galoshes, subatomic shrinking device, spy watch communicator, stoplight missile, phosphorescent footprint follower, hat buzzsaw, flashback clock, pachyderm picker-upper, umbrella cage, super sniffer helmet, and my personal favorite, psychology in a can, which sprays the therapy office anywhere you point it. Plus, Penny gets a mascara flamethrower and a banana bazooka once she becomes an agent, so that's pretty cool too. Overall, like the characters in the 90s version, the gadgets have their own unique personality and designs too, which I love. It helps them stand out way more and definitely lend to the strength of the stories that are being told. The 60s ones, it's just a lot of rinse and repeat of like ray guns and big weapons that you would see in like the military. So it's hard to pick out or even remember specific devices other than say like the recording device that Secret Squirrel frequently has underneath his trench coat, which is actually found in both versions, the 60s and the 90s. I did note as a side note that what's strange to observe here when you think about it is how the title card for the 60s episodes feature a very similar futuristic flying white car, like the one actually used in the 90s version. But we seldom, if ever, see it in the 60s cartoon being used because the car that Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole drive through is like a burgundy, misshapen, long limo type car. Very strange. Very strange indeed.
What do we do now, Secret?
Watch TV while we're standing by. What else?
As for the writing, as you can expect with like the art style differences, it's subtle but very noticeable. I would say it's topical and on the nose. The writing matches the visuals, so there's no confusion as to what's going on. But conversely, it made me constantly respond, yeah, I can see that. Thanks for sharing. Like, a lot of the writing is just way too obvious for me to make the cartoon enjoyable. And that, unfortunately, makes the cartoon suffer a bit because it doesn't give, you know, much the imagination to figure out what's going on or piece together the whole mission that Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole are going through for yourself. It's a bit more bang you on the head with it obviousness. As you'd expect, the 90s version is more developed in layers. We get a sense of how each of the relationships between Secret Squirrel and the other characters operate without being overt. And it's still fun, too. There are moments of pause to think, and rather than just having Secret Squirrel and Morocco Mole rush into action and describe what they're doing as they're doing it, we see them do the action, but we also see them comment on the consequences of their actions through their interactions. So it's not as obvious, and it's more like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I like that. I like TV that can give you a moment to think as an audience viewer rather than just be spoon-fed what you're given. The music got similar contrasts as well. The 60s version has a typical big band orchestra with occasional dose of 60s rock organ playing for accents or stingers as drama unfolds. It's the kind of music you commonly hear from 60s sitcoms of the time or other Hanna-Barbera cartoons, as they all kind of sound a little bit samey and look a little bit samey with their animation and atmosphere and whatnot. It all kind of blends together, like the gadgets too. Though some of the twinkly flute parts that I hear remind me of Flintstones background music, so if anything, that stands out. As for the 90s version, well, it's more sophisticated, it's alluring, and it's very sneaky sounding as a spy soundtrack you'd expect to hear. And I would say it's 10 times more succinct too than the original theme, because it doesn't have vocals dragging it down, and it just gets to the point of what it wants to show you. I mean, by contrast, the 60s version is about like a minute long, maybe 46 seconds if you cut off some of the tail ends. But the 90s version is like just 10 seconds flat. It pretty clearly identifies who this is and what we're getting into, which I like. So, all things considered of my overly thorough breakdown of these two cartoons, I would say that with my nostalgia goggles, they are not actually blinding me from the truth. And they're not blinding me from the 60s version's flaws either. Some of them are very glaring, and this has not aged well, unfortunately. The truth of the matter is, the 90s version is just more fun to watch, plain and simple, and it does most everything better, equal to or better, in the parts where it's lacking, which I can't really see much. The atmosphere, the gadgetry, the villains, the music, even the jokes based on what I've combed over are far superior in this reboot iteration than in the classic series. If you agree or disagree, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the matter, but based on what I went through, there's one clear winner here.
Now, I'll be needing a new spy. Perhaps there'll be a listing in the Yellow Pages under Secret Agents.
Super Secret Agent Secret Squirrel reporting for employment, Chief?
Considering its short run, should Super Secret Secret Squirrel have had more seasons, or even more episodes to round it out? I'd say it could benefit from another season, as long as they continue to create captivating and diverse villains for their tried-and-true formula, or even go deeper with the character lore. Maybe even show family members tied in other than Shirako Mole. But aside from these points, I think it's fine just the way it is. As for the 60s series, at a point, the elements that cause it to age poorly make you want to just cherry pick the episodes to see what it's like for yourself. It was difficult for me to get through two seasons of it, considering how samey everything feels, aside from the Yellow Pinky specific episodes, you know, that villain that Secret Squirrel interacts with. And while I did enjoy a brief Easter egg of seeing Secret Squirrel without his hat in episode 111 at the 111 mark, no, I'm not kidding, check it out for yourself if you have a file of it, there's not much else going on for the 60s version for me, honestly. I don't really have any nostalgia for it. I find the formula kind of tired, repetitive. I don't find the characters that interesting. The music's okay. The gadgets are okay. Even the voice acting is just okay. It's just kind of painfully average to me. And I don't think most people are missing out as a result of not seeing the show. But for the 90s version, I'd definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun and should have got his own series aside from being a part of Two Stupid Dogs. So when it comes down to it, I do have some memories of watching Super Secret Secret Squirrel growing up, despite not having any memories of the other Secret Squirrel. So I'll mention a few here. When I did catch it on Two Stupid Dogs on TV, I was enthralled by the 90s version of it. Looking back, it was funny to experience, since I preferred watching shows centered around monsters instead of spies. Still, seeing Super Secret Secret Squirrel endure all sorts of cockamamie capers through his clever solutions, and sometimes lucky breaks, made for enjoyable, memorable content. It felt surprisingly smart, slick, and humorous in contrast to the lowbrow humor of Two Stupid Dogs. And maybe that's why I searched the TV Guide during its rerun phase to see all 13 episodes and how Secret Squirrel would best his foes in every different setting. If it weren't for this show wedged in between another show, I may not have explored other animated anthropomorphic animal entertainment, such as the educational PC game series Spy Fox or the PS2 platformer trilogy of Sly Cooper. It seems cartoons make the spy genre more accessible to a younger audience while maintaining the thrill of adventure from its mature source material. And, as a result, fans like me can relate to these high-tech heroes. So why does Secret Squirrel matter? While this cartoon character may not have stood out like a Fred Flintstone or George Jetson in Hanna-Barbera history, Secret Squirrel caters to an audience who loves being enthralled by the lives of spies. They're enigmatic, they're dangerous, and everything ordinary people are not. When the James Bond films become a hit, it seemed Hanna-Barbera wanted to capitalize, or at least cater to that demographic who were tired with seeing cowboys and Indians chase each other on TV. And I believe that while that the niche was very narrow among the Hanna-Barbera universe of cartoon stars, people who turned in to it still remember it. Both its original iteration and its reboot enjoyed a fair amount of airplay once Boomerang evolved into its own spin-off channel, and I'm glad there's still a home for classic tunes to be loved and not forgotten, just like here on this podcast. All right, I think I'm going to pack up my secret suitcase and ask you guys a closing question for today. Which secret squirrel do you prefer and why? Do you have any similar or different opinions? Send me an email to voice your answers at checkerchildhood@gmail.com or leave a comment in the comments section of our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also rate and review this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen on your preferred podcast platforms. If you do, I'll share your review with our fellow listeners in a future episode during a fan letter segment. Don't forget to tell a friend about this podcast as well, so they too can enjoy and be informed of the various CN topics we covered. All right, Toonheads, I'm all spy squirreled out. Check in next time when we saunter on down to a suburban cul-de-sac and hang with the Eds for a bit and share our favorite Ed, Edd n Eddy episodes together. Which ones will come to mind among these series' best, worst, and all-around weird? You'll simply have to listen to Episode 7 to find out. To all my fellow Toonheads, thank you for being here today. This topic proved to be a challenging task, so I'm happy I got to share my thoughts on the two versions of Secret Squirrel with you. Perhaps conjuring up these nostalgic memories with a sprinkling of trivia may compel you to revisit both cartoons and see for yourself what makes them enjoyable or better off skipping. Overall, I'm just glad to share these Checker childhood memories with you, and I genuinely appreciate your willingness to hear me out. In the meantime, I think it's time to jump in my spymobile and head over to this giant beehive to see why my city is covered in thick, goopy honey. Have a tunerific day, my friends. Later.
Ooh, sounds romantic.